Good morning. Oh, wait. Sorry. It's okay. I usually come to morning, too, so I get it. It happens. Desire and duty. These are both words that evoke strong emotional responses and deep feelings. Duty and desire. If I were to do some word associations, the word desire, if I'm thinking biblically, makes me think of Cain when God tells him that sin waits at the door. It crouches and its desire is for him and he must rule over it. I think of Eve who will desire for her husband and he will rule her. Non-biblically, obviously, the word desire makes me think of sexual desire. It makes me think of romantic desire. Or a strong emotional connection with somebody, that's a desire that we have that's baked into us. Now, duty, I think of duty and I think of, well, first I think of Call of Duty. I haven't played Call of Duty, but I know a lot of people have. And that makes me think of the military, right? That's connotations of duty, of honor, of sacrifice, of people who are serving and sacrificing their lives. Or we have job duties and responsibilities in our everyday lives. And when I think of it biblically, I think of the commandments. I think of our duty to God to keep the commandments. So there's a big contrast between these two. There's a contrast between desire and duty. And honestly, when we think about these two, one of them seems good, and one of them seems a little dangerous. Obviously, duty is the one that we think of that's good. Desire speaks to the things that we want. And usually in our minds, it has this connotation of being maybe forbidden or sinful, things that we have desires for, or maybe it's just out of reach. While duty speaks sometimes, maybe often, has a little bit of a connotation of being a burden, doesn't it? Like there's a burden to the things that we have to do. So today what I want to do is I want to read one story from the Bible, one parable of Jesus's, that conveys how both of these, both are good and both are dangerous. So let's turn to Luke 15 to read this story. Luke 15, this is this story, it's a parable. If you were to put down, like just make a list of like the top five parables, this is definitely in the top five, I would say. Maybe even the top three. But this is the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15, let's see if I can turn there. Here we go. It's in verse 11 is where it starts. So we're just going to read along. We're just going to read the whole thing. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about these things. So, verse 11, it says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So his father divided to them, his two sons, his livelihood. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living, which would be kind of wild, unrestrained living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, and that man sent him into his fields to feed swine, a great dishonor in a Jewish country. And he would have gladly eaten and filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. So they began to be merry. 25. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and said, what does this mean? The servant told him, your brother has come, and because he has received him, your father is safe and sound. Your father has killed the fattened calf. But the son was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him? And his father replied, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So we have two sons. One is the prodigal son, the wild, lost son who gave in to his desires, and they were unrighteous desires. He spent his money on harlots, it says. And we have the dutiful son, the one who did everything he was required to do. He lived with his father and kept all his commandments. We are both of these sons. Each one of us has both of these sons inside of us. When it comes to the desire part, the prodigal son is a warning that when our desires are misdirected, that's when we get into trouble. And this is baked right into the universe that we live in. So if you read the book of Genesis in chapter 3, when the serpent deceives the woman, he deceives her and she sees that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was pleasant, good for food, and a tree desirable to make her wise. So she took its fruit and ate. So it's baked into our world. Our desires, when they're not aligned with God's way, lead us astray. The prodigal son took his father's money and spent it on desires wildly misaligned with God's intent, and that was not okay. Yet, desire. Without desire, what do we have to live for? Desire is the thing that pulls us forward and motivates us. God uses our desire to pull us towards him. Hunger is a desire. That's what actually saved the son. He was hungry, and that desire is what saved him. He came back. Sexual desire between husband and wife is the glue that keeps that marriage bound together. Our desires for a better future motivate us to get a better education, to find a better job, to work hard. So somebody who cuts himself off from all desire, from desiring anything, and is only dedicating himself to duty, will live a life that's colorless and dull, unfortunately. Desire is the gap between who we are, where we are now, and where we want to be. How can we grow unless we desire something better? And by the way, we're not the only ones who desire. God greatly desires things too. He desires that we will be part of his family. Remember Jesus with his disciples on the last Passover, he said, I have greatly desired to eat this Passover with you. So it's not just us who has desires. And now let's talk about duty. The dutiful son did not sin against his father at all. It says he stayed and continued serving. In 29, he says, I never transgressed your commandments. And indeed, that is our calling. Our calling as Christians is to keep the commandments and live God's way. We teach our children to have a sense of duty. We teach our children what their duty is, which is to keep the commandments, to know what's right and to wrong, and to develop good character. And of course, Scripture is filled with admonitions to keep the commandments and to do our duty. One of the toughest of Jesus' teachings is just two chapters later, and we don't have time to get into it. I really wanted to, but I don't have time. But in chapter 17 of Luke is the story where Jesus says, you know, you have a servant, and he's serving out in the field all day. And he comes in, and do you tell him to have his leisure? No, you have him make a meal for you, and then he can rest. And then when he is finished, do you thank him? I think not, he says. And he ends up saying, at the end of that parable, he says, so a servant who does everything that's commanded of him should say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Obedience is not extraordinary. It is baseline. That is table stakes for living a Christian life. I remember Gary Petty, when I lived in Nashville, gave a sermon series on the Ten Commandments and a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. And that was the kind of my big takeaway. The Ten Commandments, the commandments of God, these are, I don't even think it's a 101 class. It's a first grade class. So which is kind of crazy then in that parable for Jesus to say, we are unprofitable servants for someone who does the commandments. And I'll get back to that in a second. But thinking about those who perform their duty, in the parable, the father says, everything I have is yours. What does that mean? It's kind of a mystery a little bit. And I think that obviously that parable given to those people at that time, I think there was a big connotation for them. But as it applies to us, I think of this as spiritually depicting all the benefits that coming from living God's way of life. So if you read the Proverbs, for instance, you know, there's kind of a baked-in set of outcomes. There's inputs and outputs. It's a, you know, we reap what we sow is what it says. And those benefits, in the, you could read the Proverbs, are like, you know, you have honest business practices, and then you get more business because people trust you, have a good reputation. You know, you build a nice, you know, savings for your children. You avoid certain diseases because you're not living a certain way of life. And while the wicked may get ahead for a while, eventually they'll get their comeuppance, right? So duty is our baseline of living. That is what the scripture has told us. Yet, like I said, if duty is the only thing driving your life, and you close yourself off from any desires, this can be just as bad and just as misdirected as desires taking over and you just giving in to everything. Reread what it says in verse 28 of Luke 15. It says, the older dutiful son was angry and would not go into the feast, and his father came out and pleaded. His sense of duty and responsibility made his heart hard. This is one of the ways I think that when Jesus says we can become an unprofitable servant, we are an unprofitable servant just by doing our duty. This is one of the ways that this can happen. He couldn't rejoice over his brother's repentance because of his duty. He'd been doing the right thing all those years. And actually, we never know. Actually, Jesus ends that story without that son ever going into the feast, which is kind of scary. Meanwhile, it was the desire just to live, just to survive, that not some noble motives or something like that, that brought the brother back home, the prodigal son. God uses our desires to pull us towards him. But when we're dutiful, as we all are, and we keep God's commandments, we have to be careful that it doesn't let us become self-righteous. And I think all of us have gone through phases of life where we've gone through some prodigal phases of life, where we've given into our desires. Our desires are not aligned with God, and they've taken us away from God. As we see other people do that, as we see other people embark on prodigal phases of life, I think this is one of the reasons patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit, to bring that up again, because we have to have God's perspective, which is that he is, you know, first of all, if somebody leaves the faith or something, he will pull them back. They are a lost sheep, and he will go find them. And hopefully they have their moment where they come to him. They come to themselves, and they repent like the prodigal son did. In the meantime, we have to have patience because we see this happening in the span of our normal lives where God is above time, you know, and he sees kind of where he wants us to be. But that's why I think patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so the takeaway here is this. This is what this is. This is what I want to bring out today. Simply that we have to balance these two duties. These two interests, duty and desire. We have to align our desires with what God wants for our lives. And it's not just keeping the commandments, because that's what duty is. Duty is keeping the commandments. That's the basics. That is the baseline of what we do as Christians. But our desire is to grow. Our desire is to grow closer to God. Our desire is to become more like God. And he will use that desire to grow us and bring us closer to him. And so this is simply a reminder for us all to be the dutiful son who always obeys his father's commandments, but not to let that sense of duty turn into self-righteousness, so that when someone who does go through a prodigal phase of life comes back, comes to themselves and repents, we aren't so hard of heart thinking about ourselves and how much we've sacrificed for God, but instead we rejoice with God so that we can enter into the feast.